Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today we have Madison Perrigan, Wichita State softball. We're going to talk about softball with the tournament coming up this weekend at Wilkins Stadium. Madison is from Mustang, Oklahoma. She has 5 home runs this season to take over the top spot on Wichita State's career list. She hit number 40, passing former teammate and current director of operations Lori Derrico and Casey Williams. She hit that on March 5th in a win over Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and since has hit 2 more. She's got 42 for her career. The Shockers are 11-3, off to a really nice start entering this tournament at Wilkins Stadium. They play Omaha at 10 a.m. on Thursday, Missouri State at 5:30 p.m. So Madison is going to get us ready for that. So far this season, she's hitting .277 with 16 runs batted in, 3 doubles and 2 triples. All right, good start for the Shockers. Highlight, I would guess, the 3-1 win over an Iowa State team that was then ranked number 23rd, or a weekend sweep of Creighton. And you would be one of the few people still around. Well, I guess no, Creighton was already gone from the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yes.
When you, that's right. All right. And so no rivalry there. What's fueling this team? Why is Wichita State off to such a good start?
I think everyone is just so excited to be back on the dirt, and you can see it in our freshmen just how pumped up they are to get their chance on the field and prove that they're good enough to hang with anybody else that's in the opposing dugout, and the fight that this team has to, you know, we remember this exact time last year getting shut down during COVID, and kind of that year mark coming back around just is lighting a fire in us to, you know, want it more. And me and Bailey Lang and the other seniors always talk about we got to want it more than the other team in the dugout. So we make sure to remind the team of that. And when we are down, like against the team, we make sure to say, hey, the other team that wants it more is going to win. So we really are making sure to pump that team up for that.
Iowa State is 16-4. Is that a win possibly that we will look back upon and say there's some significance? Do you gain some confidence from momentum from beating that team?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think anytime you beat a top 25 team, it just shows what talent we have and what we can do as a team. And I think that we really wanted to get – we knew we could beat every team at UT Arlington. And even Iowa State being ranked top 25, we knew that they were beatable. And we take that against any team that they're beatable. And so I think just us getting that dub against them – creates even more momentum for us throughout the season. Facing those top 25 teams, obviously, you got a top 25 team in our own conference, UCF, that's continuously doing good. So I think it creates a lot of confidence in our players that we got the win against Iowa State.
I think we started the season feeling pretty confident that this team would hit the softball really well. They did last year. They have kind of over the history of this program. The pitching staff needed a rebound from 2020. They have. Boy, they've been really good. 2.23 ERA, which is second in the American Athletic Conference. They're not walking hardly anybody, which I guess you're going to tell us is a big key. 1.83 walks per 7 innings, which is tops in the conference. What's different about the pitching staff this year?
You know, Coach D and Presley Bell took over the pitching coaching position, and I think you see that switch in our pitchers, the amount of confidence that they have in Presley and Coach B, and they're much more relaxed in the circle. They can talk about what pitch they want to throw. If they don't want to go that pitch, there's a lot of communication going back and forth about what makes the pitcher feel good, not just, hey, you're going to do this when you walk in the bullpen, but more of a, hey, what's going to make you do good this weekend type of approach. So I think that approach in our pitchers is a big difference and a big key in creating that confidence in the circle whenever they hit games.
So they all have had some really nice moments, some really good contributions. I would imagine people are going to be most interested in Bailey Lang, who was just fabulous in 2018 when Wichita State went to the NCAA regional down in Fayetteville. She got injured in 2019, and she struggled last year in the short season. What's different about Bailey? Why has she been so effective so far?
You know, I think, you know, she's coming back. She's one of the old ladies, her 6th year. I think she just has that leadership mentality of coming in and just wanting nothing but success from this team. And I think you see that with all our seniors on this team. but Bailey really is taking command in the circle. You know, if she misses a spot, she knows she misses it, and she knows what she's got to do to come back with that next pitch. She's very intelligent. She has a lot of knowledge from the game, from playing it for so long, and she makes sure to take that into the circle to make sure she can execute in the game and do what she's supposed to do, and it's really effective for her, as we've been seeing.
How important is it to have that, I guess, kind of number one starter that has the track record? You know, she's beaten some really good teams. You just know she's got that in her. How important is that to this team?
I think it's extremely important. You have a pitcher that's been there before, and she's went with this team the farthest we've ever gone to a regional championship, and she knows exactly what it takes to get there, and she knows how to take those steps and how to get this team back there. I think it's really important, not just Bailey having that knowledge, but we see Kaylee Hecker at second base. I think she has a lot of knowledge, a lot of intelligence, you know, to bring to this team and be able to command the infield. And you have Riley at third, and you have Sid at shortstop. I think it's really important to have those returners in that infield because we know what it takes to get there and create that momentum, like I said.
You mentioned the experience on the infield, and I would imagine defense has been, that was a big emphasis. Seems like it's been improved this season. Talk us through the defensive improvement for the Shoppers.
I think it goes, like I was kind of saying about just being older, but you also see Cam Compton out there, a freshman at first base, who's just crushing it. And it's so exciting to see her come in right off the bat and just crush the ball and make plays. And it's just really exciting to see her succeed. And, you know, it just proves that no matter who you are, you can be out there on the infield. But I think defense has a big factor to go in with Coach B and Coach Ian, you know, L.A. and Presley. Everyone's contributing in some way to the players, whether it's defense or offense. So I think it's all coming to full circle.
You mentioned the freshman, Cam Compton. There are several of them that are playing, and that's been a pretty striking part of this start. Addison Bernard is just really entertaining to watch. Jessica Garcia, Paige Rocha, several of them have made some contributions already this season. Anything in particular about that group that they've been able to come in so quickly and contribute?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think since I have been here, I've seen a freshman class come in and just crush it every time they get the opportunity to be on the field. And I think that it's exciting to see now, but it's going to be even more exciting to see when they're seniors because the capability that they're going to be able to accomplish and what, you know, what records they're going to break is going to be amazing.
Addison Bernard has 7 home runs. She's hitting .364 in 11 games. She's walked 6 times and only struck out twice, which really seems notable for a power-hitting freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard about her all fall. How quickly did it become apparent to you that she was going to be able to contribute?
Oh, I noticed it when I saw her taking DP in the fall. I mean, it's just pure power from Addie. I mean, it's right off the bat. You can just tell that it's raw talent, and she is, you know, she's raw talent, but she is so fun to watch. Like you said, she is fun to talk to, you know, she's just a genuine person, and people love to be around her, and it makes it even more fun to see her succeed whenever, you know, she wants to have fun with the team, and she's making that team chemistry just even better.
Yeah, she's played a lot of second base, played out in right field recently also, so she can pretty versatile defensively, it appears. The hitting has been a constant in over the years for Wichita State. All 3 of the top home run people played here for Christy Breadbender. Any particular reason why she is able to get such good hitting teams?
I think Coach B just continuously recruits those type of players, and she sees the capability in them at a young age and what they can accomplish whenever they get here. And that's why whenever hitters get here, they become so effective because Coach B sees that early on, and she continues to maintain that confidence in them and that she recruited them for that purpose and to let her hitters know that, hey, you're here to do this job. This is what you're going to do. And, you know, we buy into that, and that's why we're so effective.
At one point recently, you said you were trying your best to ignore the statistics, didn't want to think about it, which is pretty common for, you know, for athletes. Are you relieved now that it's over?
Yeah, I feel like I did get a monkey off my back. So I'm really happy and really relieved that, you know, it came and it passed, and I'm just happy to move forward and see what else that we can do to with the rest of the season.
Did you get to keep the record home run ball? Did someone go and retrieve it for you?
I did not. I don't know where it's at. So that's pretty funny that you mentioned that.
That's unfortunate. That would have been nice.
I do have the bat, though, because I broke it the next game.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you can keep that as a memento.
Yes.
All right. You might be able to keep home run ball number 50 or something else like that, I guess, down the road.
Yeah.
Do you have a most memorable home run that you've hit here as a Shocker?
My most memorable home run is the second home run I hit against OSU in the regional semifinal to go to the regional championship at Arkansas. Mm-hmm.
Why was that so memorable?
It was memorable because, well, first off, it's Oklahoma State. I grew up in Oklahoma. So OU, OSU, they're the top two teams. And so in a regional semifinal, an Oklahoma kid hitting the second home run to get the lead in the regional semifinal at the highest level you could play of sports. It's a dream come true. And it's just amazing that happened, and that not only that home run happened, but that home run meant that the Shockers broke history to go to a first regional championship. That was why it was so memorable to me.
Quite a moment, definitely. Okay, people who hit home runs, say you don't ever try to hit home runs, they just kind of happen. Does it really work that way, or do you ever go out there and say, I really want to knock one over the fence?
No, it definitely is not. I never try to hit a home run when I'm up to bat. I always tell Coachy, our hitting coach, I'm looking for a hard ground ball up the middle, and that is exactly what I'm looking for every time I go up to bat. And so home runs just kind of happen. Whenever I grew up, I was told, don't try to hit home runs because the home runs will come later on. As long as you're making good contact and getting line drives, eventually the home runs will come as long as you keep making contact. So, yeah, I've never tried to hit home
runs. Never tried to hit a home
no.
run. We've gone this far, and this story about your nickname, Butters, is probably well known among softball fans, but I guess I should give you the floor. How did the nickname Butters come about?
So I was around 8 years old, and I was in the batting cage with one of my coaches, and I grew up playing rec ball in Guthrie, Oklahoma, and had no idea what competitive ball was. We moved to the city, and my dad got me on a very competitive travel ball team, and, you know, I was terrible. I was not meant to be out there. I couldn't even play catch with the kids because they were so much better than me. And so I was literally shaking in my shoes. I was so nervous to be out there. And my coach at the time was like, quit acting like Butters. And it came from a South Park reference from the South Park character Butters, who shakes all the time. And I still to this day have never seen an episode of South Park, but my dad knew what it meant. And so he kept calling me it, the coach kept calling me it, and that was my first competitive travel ball team. So that was the only name people knew me by. So it just kind of stuck.
Okay, yeah. I mean, around Wilkins Stadium, that is how you are known, definitely. Tell us about playing catcher. How did you fall into that position?
So I started playing catcher, same kind of story. I started with my first travel ball team, and they didn't have a catcher at the moment. I was around, like I said, 8 years old. So I can't remember if the catcher quit or we just never had one. But at practice, the coach said, we need somebody to play catcher. I automatically raised my hand. And I was like, I want to do it. And he was like, perfect. So that practice, started playing catcher. My mom actually did not want me playing catcher at all. She was like, it's too dangerous. I don't want you doing it. Like, I want you doing something else. And my dad was like, no, this is the position that she wants to try. We're going to try it. So the next day, Dad went down to Gregory's Sporting Goods in Midwest City, Oklahoma, bought me some catching gear, and just never left.
What do you like about the position?
I like about the position because I'm involved in every pitch. And whenever I was young, I was distracted. You know, in the outfield, I was picking daisies, chasing butterflies, that type of thing. So I wanted to play catcher because I knew that I would be focused every pitch. So
Christy Breadbender was a catcher. What's it like being coached by a former college catcher?
You know, her being a catcher is very important to me because she's able to see things that maybe if she wasn't a catcher, she wouldn't be able to see. And so she notices the exact things that I'm like, oh, I need to make sure to do better at this. And noticing that and then coming in the dugout and her reaffirming that makes me much more confident in what she tells me. And, okay, yes, she knows she's seeing it too. And it's very important to me that she was a former catcher.
And I think a lot of people have the idea former catchers make the best coaches or managers. Would you buy into that at all?
I would definitely buy into that 100%. A perfect example, Coach Breadbender. I mean, the capabilities that she's been able to do for Shocker softball and how she's been able to improve Shocker softball since she's been here is amazing. I think catchers just have a whole different view from everybody else on the team. You know, they have to contribute in every part, and that translates into good leadership and good coaching.
Walk-up songs. What is your walk-up song? How did you pick it?
So I have two. One is Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy and by Big and Rich. And I just grew up, you know, always singing that song, always loving it. And so I thought there's no better way to have – I love country too, and it's a country song. So I wanted to have that one because I also think it gets the girls kind of hyped up in the dugout because they can sing along to it. And – the second one is Start a Riot, and I actually got it from my dad. He wanted me to have the song, and it's just, it's really, really, like, the, just the way the music is whenever it comes over the system and you're walking up to the batter's box, just that feeling you get, and then you hear the girls in the dugout singing that one, too, so it's just a good feeling that whenever you're walking up to the box and hearing those songs.
Beside yourself, who has your favorite walk-up song on the Shockers?
My favorite walk-up song on the Shockers would have to be Neely Herring. I don't know the name of the song, but anytime she's walking up to bat, I'm like, dang, this is a good walk-up. And of course, it's Neely. And, you know, Neely, she's the queen of softball. She knows all the ins and outs of softball. She knows, you know, the superstitions of what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. So those walk-up songs not only fit her personality, but they fit the game too. So it's just really exciting whenever she goes up to bat.
I'm interested in Addie Bernard's, which is, I don't know if it's the name of the song, but it's Here Comes the Boom. Which,
yes.
Like, it's a big hockey song.
Uh-huh.
And I think if it were almost any other freshman, I would say, well, that's pretty confident to have that as your walk-up song. But then when you watch her swing the bat a couple times, you say, well, that fits.
Yes, it definitely fits her. And it's really exciting, too. I think she has a really good walk-up.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, the other softball thing that I'm curious about, softball teams always do a lot of organized cheers in the dugout. South Dakota State was really loud last night. Were they abnormally loud for a college softball team? Or
I would say they're a little more chirpier than others, and I'd say they're a little bit more direct than others, but you know, I think that lit a fire in us and got us to be a little bit more chirpier. And we're going to face teams like that, not only in preseason, but in conference too. So I think it's good for us to play a team like that so we know how to react and how to maintain that same energy in the dugout to go throughout the game.
So who's the leader for the Shockers? How does it work? How do you determine what you're cheering when?
You know, in the dugout, I think it's anybody and everybody that wants to do a cheer at the time. Sometimes we'll, you know, it's not just one person, but we'll have someone make up a cheer right then and there during the game. And we're like, hey, guys, we have this cheer. This is how it's going to go. And it ends up sticking all throughout season. And I think that, you know, you just start thinking of ways to, like, maintain that energy and create that energy. And that just shows that everyone's trying to get that feeling in the dugout of genuine happiness and excitement for your teammates. And so it goes a long ways.
Related topic, Shocker hits a double, they get on base, and there's usually a lot of hand signals going on. I've never investigated the hand signals, but it's something I'd like to take me through how that happens.
You know, I didn't understand the hand signals when I was a freshman. I don't think I understand the hand signals when I'm a fifth year senior. So I just do what I know what you're on first. I know you're supposed to hold your hands up with your index finger and your thumbs touching each other and the rest of your fingers out. And I know on second, you're supposed to crisscross your hands and then bring up your right leg. And then on third, I know it's a shocker three because it's a triple. And so I know you throw the three out. That's all I know.
Okay, that all makes sense.
I don't know the stories behind them or how they got there or, you know, what they mean. But I just know that's what the seniors were doing whenever I was a freshman. And it's just been carried down all this way.
So this is, yeah, so this is like passed down from generation to generation.
Exactly.
Of shockers. Okay,
yeah.
All right, interesting. How did you land at Wichita State? Tell us the recruiting story.
So the recruiting story is, you know, like I mentioned before, I grew up in Oklahoma, and the big softball names were, I mean, you have the king of softball, Oklahoma softball, 45 minutes away from my house. And it's every little girl's dream in Oklahoma to play softball in Norman, Oklahoma, under Coach Patty Gasso. Obviously, that wasn't the case for me, and I'm thankful every day that wasn't the case for me. Not because, obviously, it's a stellar program, but because this is Wichita State was where I was supposed to go. And I know that because whenever I was getting recruited, I told my dad I wanted to go Division I. And the Division I coaches that were recruiting me at the time told me, you know, ironically, that hitting was not where it needed to be and that it wasn't a strength of mine and that I wasn't necessarily going to be as successful as the other athletes that they were recruiting. So kind of my last camp on my travel ball team that I was going to, Coach Ricketts was the hitting coach for Wichita State. She saw me there and she shot a video of me and sent it to Coach Breadbinner, and Coach Breadbinner asked for me to come to a camp next week. I came down here to camp next week, and Coach B offered me within 2 days. Not to mention at camp that I was at, I was battling pneumonia, and I didn't even know it. And, you know, when Coach B sent me the offer in, she told me to sit on it for a week with my family and all this. Well, I got the offer, and I told my dad, I said, I'm ready. I want to be a shocker. I know this is where I'm supposed to go. Let's just call her. So I called her that night, and she was surprised to hear from me that night, but I could tell just in her voice that she was just as excited as I was that I was committed. And I've, from recruiting and all the coaches that I talked to, I've never had the reaction of confidence and trust that Coach B had in me whenever she saw me at a young age. So it was really, like I said, I just knew that, especially from hearing her reaction, that I knew this was the place I was supposed to go. So that's how I found Coach B.
What do you think they saw in you at that camp that maybe others did not?
You know, I think Coach Ricketts, I was catching at the time, and she knew that she needed a 2016 high school graduate catcher in the recruiting class, and she liked the way that I was catching, and she shot the video and sent it to Coach B, and Coach B liked the way I catch. So my catching was what attracted them at the time.
So it was a catching video, not
yes.
a hitting
video. I don't really think it was a hitting. I think it was catching. So I think that was the main thing that Coach B really liked.
So then it sounds like you came here more as a reputation of a defensive catcher than a hitter. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. I came here, I think Coach B brought me in mainly for my defense, and, you know, hitting was seen as something that needed to develop and work on a little bit.
Yeah, so did it develop? What happened to
it? I think it definitely, you know, this was my dream to come here and play Division I softball, and you know, my opening meeting with Coach B in the fall, she asked me what my goals were, and I said to get Wichita State to the Women's College World Series. And she was like, okay. She kind of laughed and was like, bring it down. Let's win conference. Let's, you know, then win a regional, then win a super regional, and then we'll get there. And so my eyes were just starry-eyed, and I was completely bought in. Everything they were telling me to do, I wanted to do it. I wanted to perfect it. I wanted to show them that I was coachable, that I was a hard worker. And I just took that mentality day in and day out and just continuously trying to improve.
You are majoring in marketing and accounting?
Yes.
What's next for you after college?
You know, I hope to start a master's program somewhere in Oklahoma and get my master's in accountancy. And then I would like to take my CPA exam and get my CPA and practice accounting in Oklahoma.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.